offer you this lesson from Unity of the Keys Spiritual Center. And so today we continue. We continue to explore these back to basics as we're looking at the five basic unity principles. And we explore together the first unity principle that we speak each and every week. And let's speak that together today. Together, there's only one presence and one power active in my life and in the universe, God the good, omnipotent. And the children's version is simply, God is. You have to put your hands up like with the kids' version. God is, absolutely. And then the second unity principle that we explored, our essence is of good. Therefore, we are essentially good. The Spirit of God lives within each person. Therefore, all people are inherently good. And the children's version, I am. All right. And then we explored the third of the unity principles. Together, we create our life experiences through our way of thinking, or we are co-creators with God, creating reality through thoughts held in mind. And the children's version, I create, absolutely. And then last week, we explored the fourth of the unity principles together. There is power in affirmative prayer, which we believe increases the awareness of our God presence, or through prayer and meditation, we align our mind with God. And the children's version, I pray and meditate. And today, as we prepare to explore the fifth of the unity principles, we affirm that through these knowings and as we move forward, that we each have a sacred responsibility in this world, and that is to make the world a better place. Each one of us, to make the world a better place. And we are advised to keep alert, stand firm in your faith, be courageous, and be strong. And that comes to us from 1 Corinthians. Let's speak this together. Keep alert. Stand firm in your faith, be courageous, and be strong. And I know that the month of August was dedicated to the power of will, and yet it so perfectly enhances the fifth unity principle. For it is through the power of will, through our ability to decide, to choose, to move forward, to command actions that reinforce and affirm our believing of our Christ nature. And we do that through the power of will. The power of will is what moves us forward. And that's what the fifth unity principle is all about. The fifth principle says, through thoughts, words, and actions, we live the truth we know. Let's speak this one together. Through thoughts, words, and actions, we live the truth we know. And the children's version is, I act. I act. We must take action. So this fifth unity principle tells us that understanding is not enough. Knowledge is not enough. Belief is not enough. We must move forward in our lives. We must live and move and have our being expressing that which we know to be our truths, those things we have accepted to be our truths. So if we believe that we are essence of God, that we are a light in this world, then it is ours to do to shine the light that we are. And to not do so would not be in integrity with that which we believe. And by shining the light, that does not mean to show off. It means to express the Christ nature we are. And in doing so, we're going to mirror to every other person that we encounter We're going to mirror to them the brilliant, bright light that they are. And if we believe that we are love, that our role in this world, our job, our divine job is to be love, then we need to love outrageously, to live out loud, and to love outrageously. And what that means is different for each one of us. Now, we're familiar with a Daniel Namod song, and then last fall we were introduced to the version with Nemo of planting seeds. A beautiful metaphor. Whatever grows will grow. Whatever dies will die. Whatever works will work. Whatever flies will fly. Whatever fails will fail. What's meant to soar will soar. We are planting seeds, nothing more. We're planting seeds without being tied to the outcome. Because we live out loud or we love outrageously, we do not hold the expectation that everyone else is going to do the same. That's not our job. We plant the seeds. We express the divinity of who we are, and we allow others to be themselves. And so we take action for good, not to change anyone else or to change an organization or to change a government. Those things may happen as we live who we are, but we don't hold that expectation. We don't expect anything other than to be the light, be the love. I had someone say to me recently, and it was my husband, that this is the hardest of the unity principles, and it is. You know, we have the realization that God is everywhere present, in everything. And then we have the realization that that same good stuff, that God essence is within us and within everyone else. That we create what our life experiences, our experience of what happens in our life. We don't create every experience that happens to us, but we determine how we hold it and how we carry it, and that we pray and meditate. And for many folks, then they then want to cocoon themselves and bask in this wonderful awareness. And there is value in that, for as we pray, as we hold anyone in the light, as we hold everyone in the light, there is a part of them that is uplifted and affected by that. And yet we also have a sacred responsibility to walk the path that Jesus, our elder brother and wayshower, walked. And he did not spend all his time in the wilderness. He did not spend all of his time in prayer, although he did that too. But he walked the world expressing the divinity that he knew he was. He expressed that relationship that he knew he was. I'd like to share with you this morning four examples, four very simple examples of people I know who decided to make a difference in the world. And the first one I introduced to you last fall, Ricky Roberts. He's one of my classmates at Eckerd College, and I took several classes with Ricky. He's become a friend to Denny and I. He's the individual who started the You Are Valued program and sent those cards to us that we gave to people, You Are Valued. He's written several books, and he spends his life talking to young people and communicating to them that they are valued and that they have the responsibility to express gratitude to everyone in their life who's valued. He's written, I don't know, half a dozen books now. And he finds funding so he can give these books to kids when he goes and visits schools. And at this point, he's probably reached tens of thousands of individuals through schools, detention centers, prisons, jails. And you would never know that when you met Ricky. He's a very humble, quiet, peace-filled individual. Another one of our classmates was Tommy Sapp. Tommy is a chef. And he got this idea that in South St. Pete, he called it a food desert. It's where everything had been paved over and there was no greenery. And so he and one of his buddies decided to start this program called 10,000 Good Greens. And they bought 2,000 saplings the first year. And they found someone who would give them some space so that they could raise collard greens, mustard greens, and then they spent their time donating them to anyone who would tend them, grow them, and either eat them or give them away. And at one point, some of his greens were stolen, and he's like, I don't care. They're going to eat them. You know, that's what it was for. Another one of their classmates discovered the largest homeless shelter that had just opened in Pinellas County. Houses over 400 people every night. And she set up a program in the women's pod where there's 80 women on most nights called Write With Me. And by collecting donations from her friends of stationery and journals and greeting cards and stamps and stickers and pens, she would go, usually on a Saturday, set up a table with a Write With Me sign and be there with the supplies so that women could stay in touch with their family, send a card to their mom for their birthday, send a Father's Day card, things that they really didn't have the ability to organize themselves to do, and connect with their family who'd lost track of them because they were homeless, whether they'd been homeless for years or homeless for a week. It allowed them to connect. And then one of her friends said, well, what can I do? Oh, I know. My girls and I have a gazillion colors of nail polish. So she would come on the same week and set up a table so that the women could come and paint their nails and their toes or whatever they wanted to do. And the essential message was, you matter. You are not forgotten. You are valued. We care about you. And we're here to help. Those are four solid examples of individuals, not organizations, not corporations. These people were not retired. They were not wealthy. They held jobs. They went to school. And they wanted to make a difference. And here in this community, we have so many organizations to serve the needs of the community. And many of you, I know, are involved with organizations or you do things on your own to give of yourself. And I'm sure there are many more of you that do things that I have no idea about. But we are told, we are given the directive that we must act. As we turn to Scripture, we turn to 1 Corinthians, one of my favorites. Oops, no we don't. We turn to John. It's this Scripture that's one of my favorites. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. Will do greater works than these. How humbling for this man that we know of Jesus to say this. And when we read this scripture, it becomes important to us to know that this is not coming from the man Jesus of Nazareth. This is coming from the man who realized his true essence as Jesus Christ. And he's calling out the Christ in each one of us, saying, you will do even greater things than these. For Jesus learned that he was here, that his entire life was pivotal on his teaching, his living the truths, his being with people, his serving people, healing when he could heal, loving everywhere he went. He loved outrageously, and he lived out loud. And he gave us very clear guidance, whatever we do for the least of these. And he was not being insulting. He was talking about those on the margins, on the fringes, those who were unaccepted. The foreigners, the widows, the children. He said, whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me. Now, this concept of service sometimes has a very unattractive element. For we're told you must sacrifice, and it has to be hard. It must be difficult. And for many of us in our younger years, we were told, and your reward will be, oh, somewhere off in the far distance in heaven. Not a really attractive deal, is it? Hedging all our bets. And so we find that perhaps in our younger years, service was something to be avoided rather than celebrated. And Jesus painted a very different portrait for us. He described for us a life where when we are spiritually mature, we have a different reason. For the very essence of who we are is to serve, to live out loud, to recognize the divinity with all and to mirror that for all. And that there's great joy through giving of ourselves. Vin Diesel, I bet you didn't think I was going to quote Vin Diesel, did you? American actor, rough and tumble kind of guy. He was quoted in an interview as saying, "With age, you no longer want to punch people in the face. You just want to give them a hug." And it reminds me of the videos, the clips that we see of people with signs, free hugs, or shirts that say free hugs. You ever want to do that, let me know. I am in. Absolutely. For there should be joy in what we do, but we have a tendency to judge that if it isn't grand enough, if it isn't big enough, that it is unworthy. And that's just not true. For loving and living out loud is very simple. It's a matter of connection, of being kind, of connecting with another in a meaningful way. You might find yourself at the grocery store. You're standing in line, and the person next to you, you're chatting a little bit, and you realize that they're avoiding your gaze. Maybe their voice is catching a little bit. All you have to do is say, "I don't know what's happening in your life right now, but if you don't mind, I'll hold you in prayer." There are many people who'll stop right then and say, "Would you pray for me?" And they mean it. Or you're leaving your house, and there's your neighbor. And 9 times out of 10, you kind of dart this way because you know you're going to be tied up in a conversation. But this particular day, you're guided to not avoid your neighbor, but to head straight to them. And you find out that they've just received some very sad news, and their heart is heavy. And you being a witness to them, listening to them, is the greatest gift that you can give humanity. For we are all here to make the world a better place. We are all here to give our love and our light. For as we do this, we are healing our world. Our action is vital to making our world a better place. And you say, "Well, how do I do that?" When you spend time in the morning, even if it's the briefest of prayer or the briefest of meditation, you set the intention. You say, "How can I serve today? Use me. Use me today." And then pay attention. For you will be shown who it is that needs you to shine your light and mirror to them their wisdom, their strength, their courage, their beauty. Pay attention and you'll know where you can love outrageously, whatever that means to you. How you can be that essence. Stand alert. Be firm in your faith. Be courageous. And be strong, for we are each here to make the world a better place. And that is exactly what we are doing. God bless you this day. Thank you.